I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And this is All Things Sensory by Harkla.
We are both certified occupational therapy assistants, and together with Harkla, we are on a mission to empower parents, therapists, and educators to help raise confident and strong children of all abilities.
On this podcast, we chat about all things sensory, diving into special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, overall health and wellness, and so much more.
We are here to provide raw, honest, and fun strategies, ideas, and information for parents, therapists, and educators, as well as other professionals to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of All Things Sensory by Harkla. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And before we get started today, we have a super exciting announcement. We have recently created and launched a new course on the same topic that we're talking about in today's podcast episode.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about improving focus and behavior in the classroom using sensory strategies. And this course that we've created is officially available for everyone to take.
Yes. So exciting. We're really excited to get this course into the hands of as many teachers as possible. So you can go to the link in the show notes to check out that course and purchase it if you are ready.
How long do you think we have been working on this course?
We worked on this classroom course for at least 6 months.
I feel like it was longer.
It might have been, but it was at least six months.
It's been a journey. We're so happy that it's officially available and ready for all of you.
Yep. So go check it out. And then because today's episode is all about the classroom, school strategies, we wanted to remind you that we actually have a couple of other episodes on this same topic. Number 9 is starting school with a sensory kiddo. Number 58 is back to school tips for success. Number 174 is a brainstorming session with a school-based OT. And number 57 is an interview with Tiffany, who's an OTR who has worked in the school system. So make sure you check out those other episodes as well. And let's jump in today.
Okay, so today we're focusing specifically on how to incorporate these sensory strategies that we love so much into every single classroom, not just for the kids who supposedly need the assistance or the additional sensory help.
Right. The idea is to create an inclusive, sensory-friendly classroom that all students can benefit from, while also providing those individualized sensory strategies to the students who need more.
Yeah. Okay. Let's give you 5 sensory tips for the classroom, whether you are a teacher listening, whether you're a therapist listening, or even a parent listening. You can offer these strategies to your child's teacher, or maybe just send this podcast to your child's teacher as well.
Definitely send this episode to them. All right. Number 1 is to use sensory breaks throughout the entire day and build these sensory breaks into the regular routine.
A sensory break is a simple, quick break that incorporates several sensory systems, like a brain break. And we'll often use that term interchangeably, sensory break and brain break. And it's not a sensory diet. That is different.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we like to use sensory breaks at the beginning of the day, right before the learning starts, also before and after transitions, especially in elementary school coming in from recess and lunch, as well as after a long period of sitting focused time.
We love jumping jacks, cross crawls, star jumps, windmills, just an easy way to get up and move the entire body.
Yeah, we also love simple clapping patterns to the beats of the metronome. That really helps get the body moving and gets the brain and the auditory system working simultaneously.
Even food like crunchy food, chewy snacks, you know, drinking water from a straw, those all offer some helpful proprioceptive input to the oral structures.
I think that if you can just plan out your school day, if you're a teacher, plan out your school day and incorporate several 3 to 5 minute sensory breaks in those transition periods, before sitting down for focus lesson time. And then anytime your students have been sitting for more than 30 minutes, just have them get up and as a class, do a quick sensory break.
Mm-hmm. Younger children will require more sensory breaks and older children will still require them, but not as often.
I also just think there's such a benefit for teachers to engage in these sensory breaks with their students, because that's going to help you as the adult to just refocus your brain as well. Mm-hmm. And then we always encourage you to teach your students why you're doing the sensory break so that they can be more independent with it later on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We all know that we learn about like the five sensory systems in school. But I feel like we're really doing a disservice to our students by not teaching them about the secret three.
Yeah.
Because those are the most important for success at school.
Yeah, for that self-regulation, for sure. You know, proprioception, vestibular, and interoception are the three that really regulate our bodies and our nervous system.
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that they're the most important, but they're very important.
So important.
And kids need to learn about it. My goal is always for a student to be like, Mrs. Harrington, I need some proprioceptive.
I know. I think it would be great.
Yes.
I love it.
All right. Number two, build a sensory corner or sensory space, cozy corner, whatever you want to call it. Build this place in your classroom, if possible, where a student can go when they need just a quick 5-minute break, maybe just a 1-minute break, if they're overstimulated or if they need a few minutes before returning to a challenging task.
We love using pop-up tents, cushions, pillows, beanbags, the Harkla hug in just like a little small corner space. And then you can even add like weighted lap pads with the weighted lap animal into the sensory corner, the sensory space. And it's a designated space for a sensory, like a calm sensory break.
Yeah. Offering, not necessarily offering, but having over-the-ear noise-canceling headphones available if the student needs them, visual tools such as like a calm-down bottle or a lava lamp. That's been our newest addition to our office is a lava lamp. Oh, and we have a calm-down bottle too.
We have both. Of course we do.
Yeah.
We also love adding fidgets into these sensory corners so that the students have something to fidget with. And oftentimes that fidgeting can just be really helpful to decompress.
What are you fidgeting with right now?
My fingers. I'm not wearing my rings. I do have my ponytail on my wrist that I fidget with, but I'm also wearing long sleeves. So I kind of fidget with the long sleeves, but I really love those like pop toys. What are those?
Oh yeah.
Pop toys.
Pop fidgets.
Yeah. Pop fidgets. Oh my gosh. Those are my favorite right now. And they're mostly quiet.
Yeah. We just got some pop fidget balls for Trip.
Ooh, yeah.
They're lovely.
Yeah. So you can find a lot of really cool things to add into the sensory corner. And I think, again, going along with the sensory breaks, teaching your students what the sensory corner is for, how to utilize it, when it's expected to use it, when it's unexpected to use it, making sure you're not using it as a reward or a punishment, but you're using it as a strategy to help your students feel calm, ready to learn, decrease anxiety, maybe add a visual timer in there so that if a student does go into the sensory corner, they set the timer for 3 minutes and then they can come back out.
I love it. Okay. Number three, use a multisensory approach for learning.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? This means that you are incorporating the different senses into the learning materials. So things like practicing math facts and shaving cream on the desk. So cover the desks in shaving cream and use that as your paper. 3 + 3 = 6. Draw it in there. Mm-hmm. Do some visuals, do some dots, do some shapes, do some numbers to help get those facts into their mind.
One of my favorites is to either use jumping or to use a ball to bounce and catch with math facts and with spelling words. Just getting that little bit of extra movement, that hand-eye coordination with a ball.
The rhythm.
Of it. You can add a metronome or do it without the metronome. But yeah, that rhythm really facilitates that memory.
I remember as a kid, my dad taught my brother and I how to spell hippopotamus from like a song. Like
I don't even think I know how to spell hippopotamus. Will you sing it? I don't think I know. I need to learn this.
Well, this was the next one that we had was to sing a song to help remember.
Oh, 100%.
So, spelling words. HIPPOPOTAMUS.
I love that so much. Do it one more time.
No.
Please.
HIPPOPOTAMUS.
Dang, that's good.
No one can see me, but I'm like bouncing.
I was too. I was like, yeah, this is good.
It's like a rap.
Oh, we are the new podcast rappers over here.
So there you go. It works, clearly.
It's perfect. I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you can use anything. You can use a metronome. You can stomp your feet. You can do clapping patterns. You can do jumping jacks. Just getting your body moving, using some different auditory input, using some different visual and tactile inputs, using... You know,
visuals. I'm just thinking about collages, using picture collages to remember the states. Well, you know the state song, right? Did you ever learn the state song?
I'm sure that I used to.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas.
Are you going to do all 15?
No.
Oh, no. I remember the months of the year song.
Oh, what's that one?
I am not going to sing on this
Come
podcast.
On.
My voice is already scratchy. Not doing it.
Do it for the people. Nope. They want to hear it.
I only sing for children. And that's the truth.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I don't know that one. But yeah, you catch our drift.
Yes. Number four is identify sensory needs versus behavioral needs. This is kind of like our new catchphrase. Yeah. Is it sensory or behavior?
It's kind of like an inside joke between our whole team.
But it's so true. Identifying if your child or your student is acting out because of a sensory need or a sensory challenge, or are they acting out from more of a behavioral standpoint of seeking your attention or avoiding something?
Mm-hmm. So implement sensory strategies and observe what happens to their behavior. When you suggest the cozy corner, the sensory corner, does their behavior improve once the noxious stimuli, maybe it was too loud or something, once that input has decreased, are they getting calmer or is the behavior continuing? Are they still screaming and yelling and melting down?
Mm-hmm.
Something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and this can definitely be tricky, especially in a large classroom where you have a lot of students to pay attention to. But if you're able to maybe chat with your school-based OT or an aide and just kind of keep an eye on a specific student who's having some challenges and identify what their sensory preferences are and how they react, like Rachel said, how they react to specific sensory strategies, or are they looking to you for attention when they're having a meltdown?
I think it's also important to note that sensory does impact behavior.
100%.
No matter who the child is, who the adult is, sensory impacts behavior. Say it with me.
Sensory impacts behavior.
Yes.
I also think it's important to remember that all types of behavior are a form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
The child is seeking out something, and it's just a matter of figuring out, are they seeking out a specific sensory need? Or are they trying to avoid a sensory input? Or is their behavior communicating that they want attention or that their stomach hurts or they're
exactly
hungry, they need to use the bathroom? Like, we need to identify what is behind the behavior, and then we can create a plan for it.
Love that. Okay. One last note that I want to include there is to stay consistent with all of the children in your class. So if you offer the sensory space to one student, make sure that you're offering it to other students as well, and you're rotating between everyone, giving everyone an equal opportunity to use the sensory strategies. And stay consistent with your redirection. And if you're noticing that, you know, you're having to redirect multiple students often, what do you need to change? I don't know. See what you need to change, and then stay consistent with that, and continue with that for a few weeks and observe. If you have time to journal too, writing down what you're trying, what's working, what's not working, highly recommend that too.
So helpful.
Just like a voice memo into your phone.
Oh, yeah. There
you Today, go. We offered Johnny a weighted vest and he focused so much better.
I really like how you changed your voice for that. I was like your radio host voice.
Yeah.
For some reason. I don't know.
I don't know either.
All right. Number five is to, I think we've said this before, but we're just going to reiterate it over and over and over because it's so important. Number five is to include sensory strategies for every student, not just those on IEPs or 504s, but every single student benefits from sensory strategies.
Do you know why?
I think it's because we all have a sensory system.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes.
Yes.
Everyone has a sensory system. We all benefit from these tools and strategies. I mean, even right now, if we were to look at our setup, our environment right now, we've got our sensory goggles on. The lights are dim. We've got fidgets. We've got water with straws. I've got chewing gum. We're spinning in our chairs.
I'm definitely moving in this chair. Mm-hmm. This chair is the bomb.
Yes.
Shout out to our team for getting us such a sensory friendly podcast studio.
Yes. So adults thrive with environments that are set up to meet their sensory needs. And we need to do that with our students as well.
Yep. You know, we said this already once, I believe, but teaching your students about the sensory systems, all eight of them, about how they all have a sensory system, how all of our sensory systems are unique, and then teach them how to identify their sensory needs and what feels good to them, and then include all of those sensory strategies for all the students throughout the day.
Okay. Little changes. And if you want to learn more about everything sensory related in the classroom, be sure to check out our full course. It's called Improving Focus and Behavior in the Classroom. There are a couple different options. If you are a teacher and you want to buy one license, you can do that. If you want to submit the course to your administration and have them purchase multiple licenses for multiple teachers in the school, you do get a discount on multiple licenses. So you can do that as well. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for teachers, administrators, paraprofessionals, therapists, counselors. We even have parents that can benefit too.
For sure. Yep. So that's linked in the show notes. Hopefully you got some new ideas for the classroom from this episode. And really quick before we let you go, we are going to answer a listener question.
Okay. The question is, when a kiddo is very loud, what sensory input could they be needing? Is it auditory? How do I help them meet their sensory needs that they might be seeking?
It's a good question. You know, we answer so many of these questions the same. Our first answer is always identify why.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason behind the child being loud? Are they hard of hearing, so they actually can't hear very well? Do they have auditory processing challenges? Are they seeking auditory input, or are they seeking proprioceptive input? Because the louder you are, the more you can feel it in your body.
Mm-hmm. True.
Are they just seeking out attention?
True. There are a lot of options here. Without knowing the child, it's hard to say exactly why, but I would say if it is auditory input that they are in fact seeking, then you can offer more auditory input, offer more activities that give them more feedback. Things like drumming, blowing whistles, playing the harmonica, listening to music.
Metronome.
Yeah. What else?
If they're seeking probe, like they're just seeking more input overall, you can give them more heavy work throughout the day, a weighted compression vest, heavy work.
Humming is a good one.
I liked your suggestion about the harmonica as well. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And the kazoo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Those are perfect.
Old school.
There is an app called Too Loud that you can download to your phone, your tablet, and it's a good visual to see how loud the child is and to help them adjust their volume for specific situations.
One game I like to play is called Match My Voice. Very fancy, I know.
It's so fancy.
And I will talk in different volumes, whisper, normal, yelling, change my voice, talk really silly, and I'll see if the child can match my volume. And like recording it either like on a voice memo or on your phone so they can play it back and hear. And then connecting it with an emotion too. So when they are yelling, instead of saying, "Don't yell," saying something like, "Oh, it makes me feel really uncomfortable or really scared or really anxious when you're yelling. Yeah. How does it make you feel when I yell?"
It's unexpected.
Unexpected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So connecting it to an emotion is helpful.
I was also thinking if the child is nonverbal or preverbal, whatever the terminology is these days, and maybe they don't fully understand how to participate in those types of activities, just figuring out what other types of sensory input you can give them. Maybe doing some joint compressions, vibration with one of the homedics, vibrating balls, or head massager, or more oral motor input. And, you know, it's going to be some trial and error for those kiddos to see what helps them because they don't communicate the same way. Mm-hmm. So more trial and error.
Hopefully that's helpful.
All right.
I love getting your questions. Thank you for sending this in.
If you have a question you would like us to answer on the podcast, send us a DM on Instagram at All Things Sensory Podcast.
And if you have just 30 seconds, if you can pop over to iTunes and leave a review, we would 100% appreciate that. We love reading your reviews, your thoughts.
We read those.
We do.
Like ourselves.
We pretty much cry every time.
We really read them.
We appreciate it so much.
And share this episode with your friends and family, with your teacher friends, with, you know, everyone.
And make sure that you check out our brand new course, Improving Focus and Behavior in the Classroom, and enjoy that. Sign up and check it out. Let us know your thoughts.
And we will talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla.
If you want more information on anything mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get the show notes.
If you have any follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is at harkla_family or at All Things Sensory Podcast. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us there.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla. Whether it's for one of our digital courses or one of our sensory swings, the discount code SENSORY will get you 10% off. That's SENSORY.
Head to harkla.co/sensory to use that discount code right now.
We are so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world. While we make every effort to share correct information, we're still learning.
We will double check all of our facts, but realize that medicine is a constantly changing science and art.
One doctor or therapist may have a different way of doing things from another.
We are simply presenting our views and opinions on how to address common sensory challenges, health-related difficulties, and what we have found to be beneficial that will be as evidence-based as possible.
By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or your child.
Consult your child's pediatrician or therapist for any medical issues that he or she may be having.
This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
Thanks so much for listening.